For January 13th, 2018, it's the Lullabot Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's the Lullabot Podcast, episode 221. I'm Matt Clay, the senior developer at Lullabot. With me as always, senior front-end developer, co-host of the show, Mike Herschel. Hey Mike.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We're ready to get going on the newest episode of the Lullabot Podcast in 2018. And we're going to talk about something that we've kind of mentioned in passing a couple of times, haven't we?
Yep.
And I think it's kind of actually going to be a good thing for Drupal as far as, you know, getting something useful when people install Drupal and kind of understand what's going on, right?
It's been a long time coming.
What are we talking about? We're being all weird.
Well, this week we are getting in the box with the out of the box initiative. You like that?
I like it. And we're going to talk to the people who are thinking outside the box with the How do you say it? Out of the box initiative with Drupal. That's right.
Yep. First up, we have Christina Chumias. She is a designer and front-end developer at Imbra. Probably butchering that. She was a co-organizer of the Drupal Summer Barcelona and is an active member of the Catalan Drupal Association, CK Rena on Drupal.org, and Chumias on Twitter. Barcelona, Spain. Welcome, Christina.
Hi there.
We're just going to make you say those hard words like three more times.
Yeah, just the way we've done all the time.
Yeah. You got the easy one coming up here.
Next up, we have the lead front-end developer at Enertech. He's an organizer of many Drupal events in Ireland and a speaker at DrupalCon and Front-End United. He's Mark Conroy on Drupal.org and Twitter, and he's approaching his 10-year anniversary on Drupal.org from Galway, Ireland. We have Mark Conroy. Hey, Mark.
Hi, guys.
Hey, glad you're here.
Thank you.
Next up, we have a director of 5Mile, KJ, on Drupal.org, has been on Drupal.org for over 10 years, and from Hampshire in the UK. Welcome, Keith J.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hey, Keith. 5Mile, that sounds like it's in Detroit, right?
That's 8Mile.
Oh, that's right. Also, a lead developer at 5Mile Media, Smaz on Drupal.org from Hampshire in the UK as well. We have Gareth Goodwin. I almost said Godwin. Would that have been wrong? Hey, we have Gareth.
That would have been, but it's close enough.
Gareth Goodwin, glad you're here.
Hello, thank you for having me.
All right, so let's get started. So what is the out-of-the-box initiative?
What are we actually talking about here?
Give us the rundown.
Why have we been talking for 3 minutes? Like, what are we talking about?
So I guess it's an initiative that has come out of – there was two initiatives. There was – if we'll go back to Dublin – there was basically conversations going on around creating a new theme for Drupal Core, talking about the fact that obviously out of the box Drupal, you know, still got the same theme that it's had for some years, and so there was a whole conversation going on around having a new theme for Drupal, and then alongside that there was a bit of a onboarding conversation. How can we welcome new users to Drupal? How can we show off its capabilities and really shine a spotlight on what it's able to do? Again, something Drupal doesn't really do. If you install Drupal, you're all familiar with that you have no content type message, which is super friendly and super helpful.
Yeah, so you install Drupal and, you know, and I haven't done this in a very long time because I always end up, you know, working with a client site that already exists. So you install Drupal and you get, I remember this paragraph of text that says something that might be useful but isn't really useful, and then it goes away once you make your first node, right?
Yeah, it's really bad. So interestingly, the issue around this has been has actually been on Drupal.org for I think it's over 10 years. I'm pretty sure it's over 10 years.
That's about right for Drupal.org.
I mean, so, I remember my first time installing Drupal probably 8 years ago now or something with, I think it was Drupal 6 at the time. The first time I was going for it, I knew I was getting a job within Drupal. So I downloaded it, started playing with it. And I just remember thinking, you know, WTF is a node. And you kind of still get that experience when you install Drupal 8 out of the box. You know, it doesn't tell you what things are. But yeah, I still remember that experience from 8 years ago now.
And kind of cleaning up and making that experience a whole lot easier for a new user is kind of the goal here. That's what we're trying to do?
Yeah, the goal specifically is that we're doing a demo. That's the sort of the merge of these two initiatives is, you know, we're producing a new theme, we're producing sample content, and we're producing an installation profile that's going to give a demo of Drupal. And that's really important. We're not trying to create a starter kit here. We're literally trying to say, putting together a system that allows you to install Drupal and see exactly
to kind of show the power and versatility of Drupal. I started in Drupal 5 dot whatever days, and it's confusing when you have to maybe download various modules like you did in Drupal 7. I know in Drupal 8 it's a little bit easier where you have a lot of the modules like views and entity relationship bundled or entity reference bundled. But how do you know what to do and what exactly is an entity reference when you don't even know what an entity is?
I think as well, we're trying to solve a problem such as the evaluation of Drupal is very difficult out of the box because you install Drupal and you show that to a marketer. They're not going to decide to go with Drupal based on a bar tick and a message that says you've created no front page content yet.
Yeah.
You look at a designer and they install Drupal and think, oh God, that's what we get. That looks like 2011 because that's when that was designed.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the fundraising department or whatever in a charity, or you look at the content editors in what we're trying to do, a food magazine, and out of the box, Drupal just doesn't sell itself well. One of the main problems we're trying to solve is to say that out of the box, Drupal can be quite an impressive content management system.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, then you can start building more things, whether you start using more of the features that Drupal core gives you, because we don't use all of the core features, or you start using contributed modules and things like that as well. For me, we're kind of trying to solve an evaluation issue, let's say.
Mm-hmm. So our target is, go ahead, sorry.
No, that's exactly right. It's about first impressions. And it's something Roy Scholten has spoken about a fair bit before. You know, what's that first impression that anyone installing Drupal gets? And Roy described it, I think it was back at San Francisco. He described it as being that we're effectively delivering an experience that implies that Drupal doesn't have a lot to offer. When in reality, especially with Drupal 8, you know, the exact opposite case.
So what we're trying to do is we're targeting evaluators of Drupal. Is that true? So all of us here on the podcast today are not really the target. Is that difficult to try and develop something for somebody who isn't us?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the main issue. And that's one of the main bike challenges we had some time ago, because we had to figure out which were the main features we wanted to show. And Keith, I don't know if you remember then, but it was like, okay, let's put all the stuff together and let's decide what's the most important things. And it was kind of...
What are the personas that you've identified that you're trying to, you know, market this to?
Yeah, so the personas that we originally discussed were, as you've just mentioned, the evaluators, really important. Content authors, site builders as well, because we want this to be about learning as well as just getting that first impression. You know, if this is the, if you're coming along to Drupal as someone who's a bit of a site builder or even a developer, you might be coming from another platform and you want to know exactly what's going on in Drupal, you're going to have a very different, you know, perspective on what you might expect to see. So we want to sort of guide users through what is a typical set of features that you might find on a Drupal site. So site builder, visitors, content authors, those types of roles, as well as evaluator, the ones that we laid out.
So what features are being showcased by Drupal that speak to those various different personas?
I suppose the best thing Drupal does is content modeling. Mm-hmm. So the idea that we can get content types much quicker than you can get in something like WordPress or other CMSs, that we've got three content types. We've got a basic page, and we've got an article content type. They come default with even the standard installation profile. But then we created a new one called recipes, and then we can give those fields, and we can be very sure of what's going to happen with the data in those fields when it gets stored in the database. So the content modeling aspect is content modeling, and then the idea, I think one feature that we've shown quite well is the idea of content relationships, then, that you can get lists of content quite quickly and related content to the present content you're working with through views and the views and the contextual, what's the contextual arguments, contextual relationships in views. Can someone else continue, please?
Yeah, filters and grouping and things like that. So taxonomy terms, using them to group recipes by maybe food type or something like that. So you create a recipe and you'll see the recipes page grows. I think we've got it all sort of grouped by ingredients, things like that. So you can sort of see how people can filter this data, or, you know, you kind of just write the article or the recipe once, and it's going to show up on the homepage. It's going to show up on the recipes page. It's going to show up in search. You know, you don't have to go and add it everywhere throughout the site. You know, relationships handle part of this. And yeah, as we've been talking about, relationships.
You started talking about articles and recipes and that kind of thing. And what kind of website are we actually building for our demo? Like, what is it?
It's a recipe site. So it's actually for a food magazine. So it's obviously a fictional scenario. And the brief backstory on this was there was a farmer's market tutorial. And we all started looking at doing sample content for the farmer's market tutorial. And that was something that was going to be rolled out in some format. And it was that fed into this, what we've got now, which is Umami, which is this fictional food magazine. So the idea being that we want to present this whole idea of a publishing type website, which is a good use case example for obviously a Drupal installation. And the idea is just to bring along the different content types, how you might use those, and also thinking ahead about features in the future that we might want to show off. So making sure that we choose a scenario that's you know, going to be able to scale to the type of things that we want to demo that Drupal packs in into core. And as far as what we've got so far, it's been kept really MVP, if you like, for the first version. So that's currently, we've got articles and we've got recipes and we've got pages. But actually, all of the features that are in just those few types, it's really rich. You know, obviously we're showing we've got entities. Those entities are fieldable. We've got users that feeds into that. We're going to be able to show that users are fieldable. Obviously views, how we display all of that content in from the actual sample content. We've got image styles. Yeah, there's a whole wealth of core stuff that I guess we as Drupal site builders can easily just take for granted, but it's right there in core. And I think it's really important that we get that message across, that core is incredibly powerful but also incredibly well structured. You know, it's not going to tie you down to working necessarily in one way. It's designed to actually be way more flexible than that.
Are you making use of like any of the new layout APIs or anything like that
at the moment? No. We've kind of made a decision not to use experimental items that are in Drupal core. So layouts and content staging or content moderation, those kind of things are not being used by us at the moment because given that it's called out of the box, we want to show what you can do with Drupal out of the box in terms of stable Drupal. If we start using experimental modules and one of those experimental modules does not get as far as being stable and gets removed, then we're going to break what we've been building.
Yeah.
So it's out of the box stable Drupal core, and there's so much what you can do, and there's much more you can do even without experimental modules. There's a lot more you could do than what we've done, but we're kind of focusing on the MVP part of that. So in later phases, we might have, or we will have more features, but we don't think we'll be building on using experimental code to do so.
Another part of that is to do with the fact that we're, you know, obviously trying to demo to effectively new users of Drupal. We're trying to draw in new users for the whole Drupal community. And if we're basically trying to work with features that are where patterns exist for how you work with it. You know, if we're working entirely on the sort of bleeding edge of things, then we also have to work out how we want to demo that. And we want to make sure that we're setting out best practices effectively. So we're providing a demo that follows. This is kind of a recommended way to work, perhaps. Is that how you describe it, perhaps, Mark?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is this is kind of a first step towards this sort of thing. So, you know, Drupal doesn't currently have a demo or more than just in core, at least, a standard or minimal profile. There's no way to install any additional profiles that are buried away on Drupal.org. Kind of taking this as a step towards opening that conversation and finding out what other people might want to do with them. And like you said, that, you know, there's nothing to say we couldn't have another profile at some description that does include all these experimental features and goes, hey, you know, this really is leading edge, but we kind of don't want to break people's demos that they've just installed when they next go and do, you know, update Drupal for me and then go, hang on, nothing works all of a sudden because something we've relied on has been removed because it was experimental, it didn't work, or has had API breaking changes. I think content moderation is an example of this recently, where between Drupal versions, they needed to change the API. I thought that's caused a few problems. So trying to sort of avoid anything like that, this is kind of as stable as we can for now. And it's, yeah, about getting this movement going and into core and seeing how it develops.
I like how you're thinking about different types of evaluators, whether it be the site builder or the developer, you know, looking at seeing how you built your demonstration site and the best practices therein. And I heard you mention making sure that a designer looks at Drupal and doesn't run away screaming. Tell me about the design. How is that being built? What's it look like? What are you doing to make that right?
The design has been something that's been really enjoyable to be involved in this, actually. So obviously we're coming up with a fictional brand. So that's the first part. That's been really enjoyable. You know, so we've got this Amami name to play around with. And the entire design process came from meetings that initially was just myself, Christina and Lowry, Larry Scudder, where we were just really throwing around ideas about how this could work and what we might call this. And we had a long list of names and just went through the whole thing of what would this look like as a scenario that would be convincing. Because if we have a strong brand and we know exactly what it is we're trying to deliver through the designs for that brand, then hopefully everything will just fall into place. And I think that's exactly what's happened. You know, we've got this, we've effectively got the orange Amami typeface. We've set out an entire color scheme around that. And the actual design behind the content is very lean. And that was one of the other things we decided to do quite early on is to say, well, we've got this sample content coming in. So let's let the content, you know, do all the work from a design perspective. So we've gone down the route of saying we can use grids and images and text and just a couple of bits of typeface work between headings and obviously body and use those sorts of really sort of generic features, if you like, those general features to give a feel for the theme. But also it means that it's hopefully a bit more adaptable for the future. You know, you might be able to do more with this as time goes by. We might be able to adapt it into other demos or anything like that. It's got flexibility. So the actual design is really just focused around the content, which is a lot of images as well. And the recipes is a good example. You know, obviously you've got different types of fields there. So you've got ingredients, you've got the actual method. And then we've done some work with custom icons just to support the, you know, the metadata for a recipe, like how long it's going to take to cook and how difficult it is to do. And just laying all of those ingredients out on the page, just really sort of gives it its fill. But at the same time, hopefully we'll have anybody using the demo, just give them the incentive to just be prodding around saying, I wonder how this is pieced together. I wonder what's delivering this piece of content, or, you know, how does that part of the theme hang together? And that's what we're looking for. You know, it's just allowing the design to sort of hopefully drive that, just drive that interest in what's going on in Drupal.
There was that discussion some time ago where we were trying to decide if we wanted an opinionated design with, because at the beginning it was this farm market, the content default that we were going to use. And we said that we're going to put all the strong on the design, on the images and content, as Keith was saying, because otherwise we couldn't use the theme wasn't going to be used for any other stuff otherwise. Okay, could you put these things? I was going to say that we wanted a design that it wasn't really opinionated, because we wanted the people to try their demos with this design and be able to demo any other stuff, that, for example, something related to food. So that's why we don't have this farmer market design, because it was going to have a lot of good, a lot of vegetables around, icons related with that, and that's why we switch that. So yeah, that's one change on the path that we did at some point.
So in building this new shiny theme, I'm assuming we're using all sorts of the latest front-end best practices to, give a good sense to a front-end developer that might be evaluating it. Things that are like responsive and, other front-end best ways of doing things currently.
We are using responsive. We've got, I think it's 3 breakpoints, small, medium, large. We're using a BEM structure for naming classes and things like that. But what we don't do, what we would love to have done, and we tried for the first while and we abandoned, was build it using a style guide, and we tried to use KSS Node. But just due to limitations in Drupal core specifically, I think we'd need something like the components module in core, which I proposed that goes into core. So if anybody wants to endorse that, please do. So in terms of best practices, we're going best practices as much as possible, but there are many ways to have front end best practices. So we're doing our best, and we don't have a style guide to go along with it. And that was a big thing for us. We really wanted that, and spent a lot of time in Vienna. Actually, I think I went to one talk in Vienna. That was the very last talk, just so I could say I went to a talk. And the rest of the week in Vienna, I spent working on trying to get a style guide implementation going. So that was a pity. But in general, we'd like to think it's fairly correct in the approach we've taken.
Right on. Is there any concern that we're going to build a profile so great that people are just going to spin up their own recipe site and just use it?
That's a question.
I don't know. I figured if I were actually building a recipe site, that might be a place for me to start. So,
yeah, well, it's a big concern. And actually, just today, we've done a fair amount of work on that. Christina, actually, I'd like you to speak on it more than me, because you've done a lot of work on the design of the new installation page.
Yeah, sure. It's more like, are we going to build just a demo or something that people is going to use for a start, as a starting point? And that's a big discussion. We don't want that people build their website inside that, because it will make that we have to give everybody an update path, and we have to be really sure about, for example, not changing anything on the content types, for example, if you want to include, for example, the new layouts or anything, we can't change the templates that we are already using and some kind of this stuff. And the question is more about what can we do. And so far, we think we don't want that. And what we're doing is trying to place some warning messages, both on the installation screen when you are going to select the profile. And we are trying to place also on a warning when you have your site installed, and that appears, we don't know when, but probably every day after a week has passed, reminding you that that's not a production-ready website or a production-ready installation profile. And I don't know, do you, Mark, want to take that from here?
Yeah, we've other concerns then as well. I mean, we want to be very strict that people don't use this as a base website. That was something that happened a lot with something like, say, Commerce Kickstart. And the guys from Kickstarter, from Commerce guys, have been telling us, you got to be very careful that this doesn't happen again, because you will get calls from people saying you've broke my website. We're trying to to show kind of the best features of Drupal. So as soon as something comes stable, we'd like to be able to put that into the next version. So as an example, we have images, let's say, with just a standard image field, like the image field you know from Drupal 7 in our current setup. But in 8.5, the media module will be stable, we think, and available. So for 8.6, let's say, we'll probably convert all our images into some sort of media management system, and we might have a you know, an asset bank built in as part of the Umami brand. That's going to break your website. So we want to make sure that you install this, you evaluate it, you look at how we've created, say, content types and added fields and maybe used views and views attachments and things like that. But then you wipe your database and you start again. So we think this would be quite a backwards compatibility breaking engine, simply because it's just a demonstration of, you know, one version of what can be done with Drupal. So we really want to make sure that people get the message that this is a demonstration website. This is not a production website.
And is the same thing for the theme? If someone decides for whatever reason to do their own content model and use the theme, I'm guessing that theme is not going to have backwards compatible and have breaking changes and stuff.
There are a lot of websites that run Garland.
Garland and Bartik and those kind of themes are a bit different to ours. Our team is built specifically for the Umami profile. So we've mm-hmm. got hard-coded where the say you got a recipe and then you got a difficulty level that this is a 1 to 10, it's an 8, level 8 difficulty recipe. Well, we've hard-coded that field gets printed directly above the image, let's say, or wherever it goes on the recipe content type. Mm-hmm. So if you want to use the Umami team, you're going to end up with either empty divs or else at least twig variables printed that aren't available in your own setup. So you could use a team, but we wouldn't give any guarantees towards it. And it's specifically built for this out-of-the-box experience initiative. It's not a general Drupal team. I think there's still an argument that there would be a new team for Drupal Core eventually, and this won't be it, but I would like to see that initiative taken off and replacing Garland or replacing Bartik with something else. But it won't be the Umami team, I don't think.
Is the Umami theme selectable under appearance or where you select your theme? Like if I install a standard profile, can I then change my theme to Umami?
At the moment, yes.
Yeah.
After this podcast, probably no.
We're talking about the out-of-the-box initiative, working to put Drupal's best foot forward to CMS evaluators. More from that team coming up right after this.
Your local Drupal community is the place to get involved and hone your chops. And coming up in February, the community has the U.S. covered coast to coast. February 3rd and 4th, you have your choice between Drupal Camp New Jersey in Princeton or the Pacific Northwest Drupal Summit in Portland, Oregon. And President's Day weekend, February 16, 17, and 18, slide on down to Florida Drupal Camp in Orlando. There's plenty more on the horizon across the globe, so head on over to DrupalPal.com to find your nearest local event or meetup. Or, if you're ready to level up but can't make the trip, point your browser to DrupalEyes.me and stuff your brain full of carefully crafted videos and tutorials.
Welcome back to the Lullabot Podcast. We're talking about the out-of-the-box initiative with part of the team from the out-of-the-box initiative.
Yeah, and they were telling us about the profile that they're going to create, or they have been creating, and they're branding the recipe site Umami. Are you familiar with Umami, Mike?
No. What is Umami?
Seriously? You're not? Like, it's a big-time foodie word these days.
Nope. I don't know what that is.
Oh, well, it's the fifth sense of taste.
Okay.
Right. There's the sweet, the sour, the salt, the what is the one I'm missing? Anyway,
Umami
is the other one, right?
Yeah.
And it's like the savory, like mushroom kind of, you know, like umami.
All right.
Did you know that?
Sure. No. I'm learning something.
Yeah, it's the fifth taste, and you know why that's interesting?
Why?
This is the fifth initiative that we've talked about on the podcast.
Bam.
Is it really?
I don't know.
I don't either.
That's pretty bad.
But we have four folks from that initiative talking to us right now, and the thing is that it takes way more than four people to get something like this done and get into Drupal core. So who all is involved with getting this work done, guys?
I would say Lowry, for example. He was one of the main, he's the one of the main responsibles that it's happening because he's been there from the beginning. And of course, Tamas, Mario, Webchip, that she has been there also giving her feedback. I don't know. Guys, do you want to keep going?
I know Gareth's had a lot of help as well from Jaideep and Navneet, who've been helping on the back-end work. That's been really helpful. And, of course, Laraland's come in recently and helped out a lot as well.
Yeah, and Tom Phippen's been helping me with front-end stuff. And Andrew McPherson, who also works with me at Anertech, he's taking the lead on accessibility gateways and things like that to make sure that we pass all those. Rai Scholten has been popping in and out of our meetings for user experience and kind of calming our ambitions down a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is the team seems to sort of be growing a bit recently. Now we've started getting some more patches and everything like that going on Drupal.org. More and more people are sort of chirping up with comments and wanting to contribute and things like that. So whilst that's who we've got at the moment, and I'm sure there's more that we've forgotten about, and I'll apologise to them, but yeah, more and more joining, so I expect that list to grow.
It takes a bunch of people to get something like this done, right? The process to get this rolled into core is not an easy one.
No.
Not at all.
Hey, I mean, to say at the start, it was what this idea has been around for 10 years so far. So, yeah, it's definitely not a simple process.
So what was the impetus of picking this up after, you know, so long? I think someone mentioned DrupalCon New Orleans at one point.
Yeah, that's the first time I heard about it. It goes slowly moving it. And after that, there was sometime it was like just in the air, just moving stuff on the back. I mean, there was anybody working. It was more the idea moving. And then we arrived to Dublin where everything happened there. Right, Keith? When we started with the two initiatives together.
Yeah, certainly from my perspective, I was really interested in the onboarding side, just getting new folks involved in Drupal. It was pretty much just getting to use Drupal 8. Myself and Gareth and the team at 5 Mile really jumped on Drupal 8 very early. And that wasn't always so easy. That really, that was a real eye opener for us because we're a small team. And we just love working with Drupal, so we just jumped in and thought, well, there's a number of sites that fit that kind of that model for Drupal 8 that we can build in and get learning along the way. It was early. It was really early, and it made things tough. But one of the things that came across to me is just the whole kind of, oh, wow, you know, there's not that wealth of Lullabot blog posts around that I can refer to work out how to, you know, shift something around or whatever. And so it's just that whole kind of onboarding and thinking about how we communicate these brilliant features that are there, how they work and just sort of making that part of the story, really making that part of the narrative. And that's certainly something we've got to look at with the out of the box profile is how can we actually also add a layer where that information is delivered. It's not just a case of, oh, here's a good looking theme with some sample content and I'm going to have to do all the digging myself. You know, it's actually what layers can we add so that users of the demo can actually learn a little bit as well and get important pointers for next steps.
This is not something that's yet in core. So I understand it's a couple of patches. Where can somebody go take a look at it and see what you've done?
No, it was more like a process about getting the idea approved at the beginning when we had these designs and we had these, at least we had the content or more or less defined it. And then there was this new ideas issue queue where we posted it and we actually helped trying this idea issue queue. And we finally get the approved. I don't remember when, and that's when the work started. And from there, we jumped to GitHub, and then Mark is the responsible to move the work from GitHub to the Drupal.org issue queues.
Yeah. At the moment, I think we've got, well, every release we make of it, and when I say every release, we've started releasing it just yesterday, so not too many releases. But each time we make a release of it, we're creating two versions of each patch. So one version of a patch is say for the team, has no images, and that's just for people to do a code review on the actual code itself. And then the other version of the patch has all the images that you need. So if you install it, you'll actually get to see what the team looks like. And the same then with the profile, we've got two versions of that patch as well. One has everything in it that you need if you want to install it, and one patch has none of the config directory, because there's no point in people doing a code review of the config that Drupal gives you out of the box when you do your export. So if you want to play with this, or if you want to review it, or you want to install it, you need two patches. So there's one patch on a node on Drupal.org that is the title of the node is implement the out-of-the-box designs as a core team. And then there's a second patch, which is, 1 second, sorry, I should have had this open, I guess. We can cut this out, can't we?
Well, we can make it.
Nope.
One thing we can do is make it really clear for listeners that they can go to lullabot.com and go to podcasts and go to this podcast and go to this podcast node, and there'll be a link at the bottom that'll be super handy.
Yeah. We've got two nodes on Drupal.org, one called implement out-of-the-box designs as a core team and one called create an experimental installation profile. So we've got two separate patches. You can install the team patch on its own if you just want to see what the team looks like with your own website for whatever reason. But if you want to install the installation profile, you must install the team patch as well, because the installation profile is going to look terrible without the actual team that was built for it. So that's basically how you play with it at the moment and review it and give us suggestions or get involved. It's a two-patch process.
There is currently we're working mainly over on GitHub at the moment because there's been lots of work going on from lots of people, and to try and do this in patches would have been a nightmare. So over on GitHub, we've got the demo_umami, which is the profile, and umami, which is just the theme. I'm sure you'll provide links to your listeners to those if they want to go and look around or download them, put them in their own Drupal site. But I do also have a composer project that you can download, composer install, and then you can actually go through the installation steps in your browser to enable the install the umami profile, and you'll get the theme and everything. So yeah, that's another way. You have got the patches on Drupal.org you can try, or if you actually just want to click around and give this a go and you're happy with composer, I do have a full build. And that is also what we're using to do a demo over on platform.sh instance that's being hosted. So there is also a link where you can go and browse the latest work and see up to the minute pretty much where we're at.
Cool. Hey, I hear the umami design is being implemented by the Contenta folks as well. Is there some cross help going on between those teams?
Yeah, actually they were just there at the beginning helping us with defining the content structure, and also they actually helped a lot with the profile, right, Gareth?
So I was pointed in the sort of content direction when I sort of started working on the profile and the basis for that. So yeah, I was taking a look at what they did, how they'd set up their content types, how they'd done their migrations and things like that. Unfortunately, they use quite a bit of contrib modules, which we're unable to do in this case. So I kind of wasn't able to take full advantage of all the media browser and things like that, which is a shame. But yeah, the Contenta CMS is definitely a help in getting going on this.
If you're unfamiliar, Contenta CMS is a Drupal distribution that is kind of tuned for APIs out of the box. So with JSON API, your content can then feed into wherever you want it to do. A lot of really great work coming from Matteo and many others on the Contenta side. But being tied to just core and CSS must have been a challenge as far as building this out of the box stuff, right?
No. Well, it's been the first time that I've been steaming with only CSS in a while, and that's actually what we have, only CSS, no KSS, no SAS, no Gulp, no any other thing. And it's getting a little bit of painful because we had to forget about the Live Living Style Guide. We had to forget about some stuff, and yeah, it's been one of the trickiest parts of the process. Yeah,
I think the biggest thing we missed actually with just writing CSS rather than SAS was that we don't have variables, that we couldn't define variables for max widths and for our colors and things like that. So yeah, we got, you know, that gets tricky, trying to either create a class for everything and drop the classes where you want them, or else
yeah,
and find and replace some things.
Yeah, find and replace. Let's do it like it's 2005.
Yeah, and if we didn't have to support IE11, I think we could have used the CSS variables. You know, that's native within CSS now, and that would have been great. So yeah, writing CSS was a pain in the CSS.
Did you have to write to support the right to left languages?
Not for now. Not for the MVP.
Okay.
I mean, it's the idea is having all these things figured out at some point, but not now.
Yeah, I mean,
not
if at the moment, we're kind of going for this is how we're working, and this has kind of been getting approval from the core team and going, yes, you know, going in the right direction, that's fine. So we kind of haven't been able to throw everything into it just yet, because we could put a hell of a lot of effort into it, and then they'll go and review the patch and go, no, we don't like how you've done your content types. Go away and come back next year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of things like right to the left and more features in core, because there's things we've not even got round to. You know, that's something that will come along, and we've still got time during, we'll talk about when it's going into core later, but we've still got time to actually make use of some of that. So I would say possibly never say never, but I'm not doing the CSS, so maybe I shouldn't say that.
What you need to do is just commit to it. Say, yeah, we'll have it done next week.
Yep, and it will support IE8 as well, right?
IE6.
Other challenges have been, you know, with this going into core, we've had to think about, we'd love to have loads and loads and loads of rich images, but that's going to make the file size for them huge and things like that. So we've got to think about limitations around that. We've had licensing limitations as well. I think Keith might know a little bit more about that, but with fonts and images and things like that.
Which makes sense if it has to go into the repo with Drupal.org. Like, you have to think about that.
Yeah, so I think they are being a little bit more flexible with it. They've kind of, there's a change upcoming to that, but still not quite enough for every single asset we wanted, I think. And the other thing has been, you know, actually getting the content into core during install. We did want to use Migrate, but Migrate's still a bit experimental, and we wanted to use CSVs, which isn't supported, so we'd have to write without using the contrib module. So we've had to include the CSV parser and all sorts of things like that. So we kind of had to redo how we were importing the content. So there's been, yeah, quite a few challenges there as well.
I think the licensing part is really tricky, right, Keith? Because we talk about that on Vienna.
That's right, yeah. So when we were at Vienna, we were in the situation where we couldn't have fonts that we wanted to use in this, because effectively there's effectively tight licensing restrictions around what we can have in and what we can have, you know, what type of licenses are effectively compatible. So the great news is that was reviewed. We sort of got that conversation going again. And that was reviewed. And in the last month or so, it's pretty much been agreed. And I think that I don't know if they've already drafted up the new licensing or, you know, whether that's just coming along now. But it's a big change for Drupal because effectively we can have these licenses that are compatible with the GPL license that Drupal's using, and they can actually be used.
Yeah. Whose recipes ended up in the content?
that's a good question. So at the moment we're having to, because there were so many unknowns around the licensing, we're actually producing the content from scratch. And thankfully there's a real limited amount of content going into MVP.
That's a metaphor that's really good for a recipe site, by the way, producing the content from scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've also got to give a shout out to Keith's wife here, who's had many a cold dinner while he's been taking photos and noting down gold and everything like that.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. When will dinner be ready? After the after I've taken another 30 shots.
I'm doing Drupal development.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of work, you know, but we just got to make sure that what we're using is obviously is good to use. There's no problems with that.
That definitely makes a lot of sense. So when is this going to be in Drupal core?
Yeah, what's your timeline? How are we doing?
Yeah. We need that Cricut soundboard.
Yeah, we need to have this MVP for, I think, the 15th of January? Do you remember the date?
Yeah, 15th, I think. So about 11 more days.
Yeah.
So we're aiming for sort of an MVP, the most we can get done or the least we need in order for it to be suitable. We're aiming for the 8.5 alpha and release candidate and so on. But we've got a few deadlines in there. It's got to be sort of considered feature complete or API complete by the 15th and have kind of the sign off from the core team to actually be considered for the 8.5 alpha. Then throughout the alpha phase, we've got chances to improve it, address accessibility issues, things like that. And then I think when we get to the beta stage or the release candidate stage, one of the two, a decision will be made as to if this is, good enough, if it's got far enough, if they're happy with it, as to whether we'll be able to get this into 8.5, or if we're going to then have to focus on 8.6 instead. So, the first deadline we've got is about a week, just over a week's time. So after this call, I think we'll all be back opening our textures and carrying on.
So what blockers do you have right now to meet that deadline?
Reviewers, I think, is the big one at the moment. You've probably seen me on the last, the last few days on Twitter shouting out for people to help with reviews because we can get all the work done ourselves and it's perfect for not even alpha. It's, it's stable for core as far as we're concerned because we don't see all the mistakes we've made. So we need to get the patches on Drupal.org, which we've been doing, but then we need people to review them and let us see what mistakes we've made and what improvements we need and let us know that this isn't even ready for alpha yet, let alone stable in Drupal core. So that would be great if people would start reviewing the patches, reading them, making suggestions or chipping in the code themselves if they want as well. That's the big blocker. I'm not sure if others have other blockers.
Cool. So what is next? Assuming the MVP goes into core, what's next for out of the box? I know at one point we mentioned layout or media or something like that. Is what's coming? What's coming up for 8.6?
I think REST is next, and I don't mean REST API. I mean taking a REST. If this gets an 8.5, I'm taking a week off from contributing to Drupal core, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think that's well deserved.
Yeah, I mean that is, of course, this is kind of our initial version. So we'd love to get feedback from people what they think, whether stuff they'd like to see, what else they think should be included. so that we can expand on this. We don't just want to go, this is a demo of Drupal, that's it. This is what we think the Drupal demo should be. You know, lump it or leave it. So, you know, feedback from people is great, but there's, yeah, as features become stable, like better media handling and so on, as you mentioned, layout, whether we could do things with Quick Edit or anything like that, I'm not sure.
It works fine with Quick Edit still, or at the moment.
Maybe we'll have a look at that one. I won't promise that one, though. I'll promise the IE8 support, but not Quick Edit. you know, but yeah, just continually evolving it, making use of the latest and greatest, and yeah, just more features that you might find on this kind of site.
I think media is probably the thing we would tackle next, because we could do that without any breaking changes to the team, because it's still just going to output image files eventually for us, let's say. I think what I would like to would be maybe tackle media next once that's stable, and then layout API and layout discovery module and that kind of stuff once that's stable, and probably 8.5 as well, because that would mean then we could abstract some of the hard-coded things we have in our team to give us, you know, left and right panels or left and right regions, whatever we want to call them, in a template file. We could do that then in a layout file instead. And if we can get in a layout file, then the team that we've created can become a generic team that could be used by other websites if they wanted. At the moment, they don't want the things we've hard-coded, like, this is a difficult recipe, hard-coded into their forum posts or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why the theme is going to be, like, internal. That's why Mark was saying, right now you can find it, but probably later on you won't be able to find it in the appearance page, because it's super focused on what we have in super hardcore right now, because we don't have any other choice.
Yeah.
Does the out-of-the-box experience just encompass this installation profile, or can this initiative maybe make some changes to the installer, maybe, you know, throw some terminology around, or maybe have a little video of what Drupal can do while that little progress bar is marching across the screen? Or has this not been talked about?
You missed a part where we said minimal viable product.
That's fair. That's
fair. I'm talking in the future, you know, maybe. Obviously, this is nothing that's going to happen anytime soon.
I think that does tie in with this whole thing I was mentioning about telling the story.
Yeah.
And if a video is a great thing, only the other day someone posted a comment on Drupal.org mentioning how we need to think like marketeers. Mm-hmm. You know, we've built Drupal 8, we've built this brilliant product. It's fantastic. Now we've got to convince, you know, explain why it is. And so I think any ideas can go in the pot that will just keep reinforcing that, the idea that this is a demo to show off Drupal. And
a lot of people get involved with contributing to open source or to Drupal because they're scratching the itch. At least that's the phrase that's used. You know, they're working on a problem that's bothered them, or they're wanting to build something that's going to be useful to them. This is a project that y'all won't use every day. Is it tough staying motivated to work on something that isn't something that, you know, you will touch in your future of Drupal?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean,
I hope I haven't made you all depressed and like want to give up now, because yeah, this is really important.
I don't think I'll ever install this.
I can't remember the last time I've installed Drupal. So at least, to a blank slate anyway.
It's been something that's always been of interest to us, whether we stick with this fully or whether we do start branching out into, you know, where can improvement be made elsewhere. So you've mentioned the installer. I was looking at the installer earlier when I've been thinking about, do we potentially need to add warnings there for this is experimental, don't touch it. But, you know, are there things we can improve there? Like, you know, it'd be great if on the installation screen you can actually search the distribution repository and actually find more demos, more examples, more things to actually base your site on, rather than at the moment before Umami, you've got standard or minimal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't tell you what they mean or why there's a difference there, or what the implications of making your choice are. You know, there's kind of not a lot there. So there's definitely more things kind of related to what we're doing that I think would be interested in getting involved in.
Sorry, Gareth. Yeah, I think that's going to be something that's interesting as well, to see how, you know, this all comes out of the whole usability, user experience thing that obviously, I know Roy's been an important part of getting going. And it's going to be really interesting to see how potentially, I guess, Amami could really help focus in on some of those key things that we need to resolve in terms of core Drupal's usability and user experience. You know, if there's this one place where you can go and there is a kind of typical, you know, content managed website experience there, and we can say, well, what is it like to use? You know, we're trying to describe it here. And if we find ourselves not wanting to describe bits, then we know there's obviously an issue. So I think it feeds that whole kind of improved Drupal's usability.
Right on. Hey, let's go around the horn. Time to kind of get wrapped up and close up the podcast for the day. So if we could just go around and maybe everybody can talk about something they're excited about or something that they need help with and want to call out, maybe a listener can jump in and help out with something. So, Mark, is there anything that you're excited about or anything you want help with?
Yeah, just review. Please, it's the big thing for me at the moment that we've got so much code and we just can't review it ourselves because we don't have independent eyes on it.
And you want eyes in the GitHub repo specifically, right?
Well, I suppose on the patches that will be on Drupal.org might make more sense for the people, I guess, are more used to looking at it there. And I appreciate this podcast might go out after our deadline and this might be in, but you know, we've got about 2 months between the January 15th deadline and Drupal 8.5 being released, where we need to make a lot of improvements to this. So, you know, just because we get the MVP into an alpha release doesn't mean we don't need people helping out. So that's really it. You know, help out where you can, if you can.
Great. Keith?
Yep. I think my time at the moment is going into the sample content. So it's getting eyes on that, just review, helping out, getting opinion on as we start to drop in the sample content over the next few weeks, not just for the 15th deadline, but we're obviously going to be adding content in afterwards. Just making sure that side of it is really good and delivers just something that feels like it's kind of a realistic scenario. So it's the same thing as Mark really says, just review about the actual scenario and the design, just making sure that people like the design and that it's working for them.
Gareth?
Yeah, I'm very excited to see that. This is kind of the first step in going towards something like this in Drupal. And so, you know, if people can, maybe not everyone thinks the demo that we've come up with is the best idea or that it's going to solve all use cases, but it's kind of people can see the potential in where this could lead to and get involved and, yeah, think about how it could be used and process forward. In terms of something that helped me out, I think I posted about using Migrate CSV source module, bringing that into core. That would be awesome because that means we could then start using Migrate and bringing in even more functionality from core. But we need that CSV migration plugin.
Cool. All right. That would be handy. Christina?
Okay, I think that the thing that I'm enjoying the most is learning so much about accessibility reviews that we are getting from Andrew. And I think it would be great if we could have more people reviewing the theme once we finally get it in core, I hope. And it would be great people reviewing also if the components are properly done and this kind of stuff from the theme itself.
Yeah.
And cool. That's all for me.
Cool. Hey, Mike, this is really cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited, and I just want to kind of express my gratitude to you four, in addition to everyone else that's helped out with this. This is a really, really big deal. And in the history of Drupal, it's always really been kind of an ugly, out-of-the-box experience, despite, you know, the power that is Drupal. And it's so exciting to see this being changed.
I remember when Angie Byron and Joe Shindelar went on the WebChick tour, and they were, you know, demonstrating the awesomeness that was Drupal 7. And the fact that there was a standard and a minimal install profile was a big deal. Like, you know, we got all this stuff installed and you can kind of see the power of Drupal. But it's like, you know, this is a really nice reminder that, you know, there's a whole lot more that could be done to introduce people to Drupal and, you know, kind of put our best foot forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be right back.